With something like Latino Outdoors, I said, where are others like me? Someone that is interested and really finds value and belonging and connection in this kind of cultural identity, and you lack outdoorsy stuff. You might have a lot of technical skills in the outdoorsy stuff, and yet that cultural connection is really important and you may not see it. Or you may be someone for whom, like, you've never set up a tent before, but you're really curious and interested. And culture is the connection and invitation that kind of brings you in to do that.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by EcoChile, a one-stop shop for planning custom trips to Chile and Argentina. So stay tuned for more from them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Hi, friends. Welcome back. If you listened to the last episode, you met my fellow Osprey ambassador, James Mills, and I thought he was so interesting and so inspiring, and that was such a good conversation that today I'm actually continuing that theme. We have another Osprey ambassador here with us in studio. His name is Jose Gonzalez, and he is the founder of Latino Outdoors, which I'm excited to learn more about, along with his many other stories and projects and efforts. So, Jose, I'm so happy that we get to do this. Welcome to my podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And hello, everybody.
Yes. So I would love, first of all, to start with allowing you to sort of introduce yourself as who you are. Give us a little bit of your background. And because I said this in the last episode, but I think that the Osprey ambassadors, I don't know if you've ever looked at that page, but everybody's so interesting and has such cool stories. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I could do a whole podcast like on just these people. So anyway, I'm kind of into that at the moment, but I would love to hear your story through your words. So yeah, let us know who you are.
Yeah, it's a good question because, you know, sometimes you get the standard introductions. Here's my education.
And, yeah, exactly.
You know, where I graduated from and my degree and that kind of stuff. And that's all there. But I think two facets in terms of thinking about me and how I can introduce myself is even just thinking of the Latino outdoor story, because there's all the outdoorsy stuff that I really enjoy. And so I am, you know, what I would consider myself, not the intense outdoorist in the sense that summiting all the peaks is kind of where I get my stoke. I do understand and appreciate that, but I'm a pretty kind of, I really value thinking about the outdoors kind of as a spectrum of experiences. So I can nerd out on the very nearby nature, kind of like, this is so interesting, take an outdoor science approach all the way to the, you know, scenic wilderness that just is just like where, you know, stoke is high type of thing. And that comes also though with an immigrant experience that I grew up in Mexico and immigrated to the US at the age of 9 and then did the rest of my growing up here in the US in California. And so there's a duality to that where there's a connection and introduction to what the outdoors is, as many of us understand it here in the US, while also having this aspect of kind of cultural identity that's really important to me. And so sometimes I'll say, like, I'm Mexican by birth nationality, I'm Latino by kind of social cultural identity, I'm Chicano by social political identity, and then I'm Hispanic by census count in the US. So. Kind of like the outdoors.
Okay, so first of all, Latino by culture, you said. What does that mean
yes.
to you?
I pause because sometimes people say, well, what's the term? Is that the term? What does it encompass? And there's some inter and intra community like discussion, debate, and dialogue. And I said, like, it'll never be figured out. It is that proverbial, the journey is where the work is versus a destination. So I said Latino through social cultural identity, Because being born in Mexico, you're very defined by your nationality and really kind of by geography of your state. It's like saying I'm from California. And, you know, the term Latino or even just the aspect of Latinidad really only shows up in the U.S. Outside of the U.S., you can be Latin American or, again, based by nationality. And so, not that it's a very U.S.-centric term per se, but I think it's representative of what happens when you come from a different homeland with a set of culture and values that then connects and integrates and mingles with the set of values here. And usually a dominant aspect of that is the expression in Spanish, ni de aquí ni de allá, neither from here nor there, right? There's a way in which you quote unquote no longer fit back in the homeland.
Entiendo.
Right? Entiendes? Yes. And then it's like, llegas aquí, and then you're like, you know, in the Selena movie, and they're saying like, not Mexican enough, and then not American enough, but have to work twice as hard. So Latinidad is kind of a placeholder. It's one of the placeholders for that to kind of be able to say this, gives me at least a place from which to start that. It's very imperfect. It's very rough. And like I said, there's all the conversation around how non-binary inclusive is it? How representative? How do you account for the indigeneity? What are the aspects of colonizer and colonized? So it's like, it's so robust. But for me, it's still an anchor, and it's an ecological anchor rather than like a metal anchor, because I'll close this part by saying I've done my work to really think of moving away from the neither from here nor there, ni de aquí ni de allá, to from here and there, de aquí y de allá, and thinking of my identity as an estuary in that way. It's still a place of tension. But it's a different holding space rather than.
I think that's so beautiful. I kind of can't believe we just like bombed right into that and started there. But I love this conversation so much. I mean, like in a general, I love this topic because I mean, from a totally different space, I just want to say I see you on that from a parallel that when I was young, I lived in Costa Rica for a year and it opened my eyes. I mean, poof, I can't even, it's hard to put into words, but there's a whole identity. It's very complex that comes along with that. And it like splits. I mean, that like split my lifetime. Yours split your childhood, your formative years. And so it's something that, like you said, it's imperfect, it's complex, but you carry that with you. And this is an and. It's a both and. It's not an or. And it's
exactly.
It's something that creates part of you and your story. And honestly, this is why I asked you, what does this mean to you? Because that's, you're allowed to say what this means to you without, you know, getting in trouble for, you can't say anything these days. So, you know, exactly. But understanding where you fit in your own story, your own identity, and that you belong everywhere. And that you are where you are, like that's who you are. I love it. It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of that.
No, appreciate the question.
And the next one, we're only one down of those three, first of all. But the second one is you identify. You said Chicano because of your birth and how you moved and were raised in the States. So can you explain what that means to you?
Yeah. And that one I say social political, because there's that aspect of political identity. I come from an aspect where just about anything and everything can be political, which is different than a body politics, which is different than electoral politics and whatnot. But what I'm getting at is then, because now you're considering elements of identity and power and representation and presence, beyond just kind of cultural identification and affirmation. So Chicanismo for me, it's another topic of debate, just so it's clear, because if for some people this is like, okay, it's too extreme, like way too into the patriarchy, you name it. And for others it's like, it's the only place where we can be understood. And or they're like, it only means this. But I say this because for me, what was formative is in my high school into my college years. And then after that was, okay, I am undertaking my own kind of cultural wayfinding, which is like, what does Latinidad mean for me? And then the other aspect is I move in the world and I'm affected by who has power. What does that power look like? So take something like immigration status, take something like, you know, language affirmation. And so as a history major, I was able to kind of look at, when you look at the U.S. civil rights movement, which rightly so, right, has a very kind of Black African-American through line, you also have these complementary and parallel struggles, such as like with the indigenous Native American kind of Red Path movement or American Indian movement. And same thing with Chicanismo, which was, by U.S. census, you are quote-unquote considered white as a Latino. And yet, because we use something like the U.S. census as a tool for resource allocation, right, like to give out money, the question is, well, if we're, we're white for it, what it doesn't count, because then that doesn't mean our communities are invested in. It doesn't mean our history is being represented in the textbooks, you name it. So Chicanismo, for me, gave me that window to be like, then how are you part of that power conversation, and how are you in service to community and change? And that to me was an anchor for it, which also contributed to like my artistic development and really gave me insights on how do you, I'll put it this way, which was culture. Sometimes we say culture in and by itself is so healing and nurturing and awesome. I said, well, there's also aspects of culture that we no longer need. So you take something like machismo, and I said, that can be a cultural element. But if we really are looking to better represent positive masculinity, how do you do that work? And to me, aspects of Chicanismo was that challenge. We can, you know, do it only in one way, which can be harmful. I said, or I can use that as a tool to really think of like, how do you burn away that which no longer serves us? And really, we can be the aspects of cultural healing that we often were lacking, or that we can play a role in doing.
You're so eloquent. I just have to say, I love this. And I also want to, in case the listeners aren't catching this word that you keep saying, Latinidad.
Yes.
Can you say what that is real quick so they can follow you? Because we actually don't have there's not like a direct translation of that. It's kind of like the idea of Latin, of being Latin, but keep, you say it in your words.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like Latinidad, you know, your imperfect translation in English would be like, if there was such a thing as Latinity.
Yeah.
It's the conjugation, right? And it's fascinating because, again, within the U.S., you know, you have a term like ethnicity and race. And just to remind people, yes, they're all social constructs, meaning we made them up. They're not real in the sense of like, biological characteristics or definitions in that sense. That's it. And they're very real and still how they affect they can affect our lives, our livelihoods, you name it. That way, because like really it's like the debate isn't like, well, we're all one human race. You're correct. And we build these structures of power that affect us based on skin color, based mm-hmm. on language and so forth. So, Latinidad is fascinating because, it's not a race in that traditional sense. We can consider an ethnicity, but it's again, a spectrum. It may, sometimes people see that it's maybe dominated by one, demographic or one nationality, like let's say in California, being Mexican, you go to New York, you know, Puerto Rican, and so forth. But, you can be Latino from different nationalities and different races. You can be Afro-Latino. you can be a Latino with Asian ancestry, with other parts of the world, which to some people it blows their mind, but also it's kind of like that reminder of that fluidity and also the work that it takes to, there is no hard boundary.
Yeah.
There's a permeability mm-hmm. and a movement that can happen within that. In Mexico, as one example, one of the terms they use is roots, la raíz, la primera raíz, la segunda raíz, la tercera raíz, and so forth, to acknowledge that, okay, one root came from our Spanish colonization, another root came from our, you know, indigenous presence here, another root came from Africa in terms of both the slave trade and immigration, another root came from the Philippines and China. And so it's like you have all of these as clear, like, examples and reminders, and that's what, like, Latinidad can encompass.
I think that, I mean, everything that you said is valid because, you know, none of it's real. It's all things that we make up, but whatever. And I think one can also be Latina de corazón, como yo.
Oh, yeah. Sí, claro. Absolutely. And, you know, and I get it.
It runs deep. Nerds,
I know. I tell people, I get that the word nerds will be like, well, Latin comes from the Latin root language. I'm like, yes, that is correct. And hence there's a throughness of that language, and Hispanic is like, comes from Hispaniola. And then people get into the debates of like, well, Brazil is Hispanic, but not Latino. And I'm like, or Latino, but not Hispanic. Whoa. I'm like, and I was like, again, I always ask in service of what? I would like to know, what do you seek to get out of that conversation? Because I don't like contributing to conversations for the sake of trying to be right about something that isn't the point, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. More like exploring
yeah,
and
exactly.
And, yeah, connecting and yeah. Okay, so the last part of that was the Hispanic identity. Would you explain what that means to you?
Absolutely. I say Hispanic by census count because that kind of was one of the first terms to try to get a handle on what this meant in the U.S. Ironically, comes from some of the work of the Chicano movement to be like, represent us in one of these tools. And the term was Hispanic. So it's still included. What's fascinating, and I use all of those because there's that range in community from that, of course, that say Latino and Hispanic are colonized terms. We, you know, shouldn't use them. Don't represent us. Like, I want to get to my as deep connection to indigenous roots as possible. And I'm like, awesome. I hear you. I agree with you. Some of us don't have that luxury or record keeping or surprise. You're kind of picking the wrong indigeneity there. And then on the other is like, for some people it's a starting point, and like a quote unquote Hispanic organization may be the first entry point. And so I really look at them as tools in the sense of connection and understanding where people are coming from, up until someone, you know, deliberately wants to be harmful. And that's what I tell people, like, that's a boundary setting. It's not an invitation to harm. So,
yeah, I love this. Okay. So I can tell, first of all, that you're super passionate and educated on the things that you talk about. And I really respect that. And I can also tell that this sort of foundation, I'm glad that we started there, because this is what you then stood upon, this knowing of who you are, to then create what you've created, right? Yeah. So I would love to hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah, because then people say, okay, what does that have to do with the outdoors? I'm like, great question.
Let's go.
Because I say, yeah, it's the fun and the challenge of, you take all of this kind of cultural wayfinding, exploration, figuring out, defining, like, how where's your place in that? And then you take all of this spectrum of outdoor activities and experiences, right? And be like, and then think about how these connect. And so with something like Latino Outdoors, I said, I am, you know, a guiding question was, where are others like me? And the question is, well, what do you mean others like me? I said, well, someone that is interested in and really finds value and belonging and connection in this kind of cultural identity, and you lack outdoorsy stuff. And you might be someone that's very skilled. You might have a lot of technical skills in the outdoorsy stuff, and yet that cultural connection, is really important and you may not see it. Or you may be someone for whom, like, you've never set up a tent before, but you're really curious and interested. And culture is the connection and invitation that kind of brings you in to do that. And so for me, that's where I was thinking, you know, really was leaning into it. And I was like, I mean, clearly I'm not the only one. I wonder where everybody else is. You know, are there meetings happening at 7 p.m. at night? And I just don't know.
Where do I find those? Yeah.
Where do I find
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
And eventually it led, though, to people asking. I could find individuals and maybe a little bit of work, but there was no kind of beacon or core that I could be like, there they are. So I started by putting my story out there in blog form, and then had people be like, that resonates with me, like, I'm in. And then the question, well, what's the in? Like, what are we doing? Right.
you're the one who started this. You're like, uh-oh, what do I do with this now? Yeah.
But what I love is, you know, part of the story is that I went on to Google at that time and typed in Latinos in the outdoors. And nothing really came up in terms of programs, pictures and whatnot. Now you type it in and it's full of these pictures and stories of what the community has created. And the invitation there was to say, what we want to do is it's not prescriptive. We are telling you what quote unquote Latinidad in the outdoors should be. Like, don't come to us to like be the holders of what's correct and incorrect. We want to go ahead and say, let's start that engagement and show others what it can be, what it can look like. How does it look similar and different in Texas compared to California, compared to New York, compared to Colorado, and so forth? And that's been the exciting part, because now when I look what the community and organizations have created, I can go to the leaders, the community leaders in Latino outdoors and say, look at this. You are holding right now. You have created what I was looking for 15 years ago. And so it's fast. It's just amazing to be able to sit with that.
Yeah, I bet. Because essentially what you've created with this, and I want to get more into what it actually looks like, what the details are, but what it sounds like to me so far is that in understanding that, in the same way that you understand that culture and identity and all of those things that we just talked about is a big spectrum, so is the outdoors. And you can do with that whatever you need to do to make it yours, to make it mean something to you. And so this is what you've kind of created, is a spectrum for people who look like you, maybe identify like you, to then take a step and make it their own.
Exactly. And it's a way to try to get away from kind of a pyramid model of outdoor experiences, where like the best ones at the top are these multi-day, you know, peak experiences, whether literal on the peaks or multi-day backpacking. And I said, those are awesome. We also want to be aware, and I recommend those for people, while also saying, be careful that that's not the first introduction you give to someone without care and preparation, because that can be a way that you can reinforce the idea that's like, oh, that's not for me. That was terrible. Why would I ever want to do that again?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's to bring down that pyramid model again to that spectrum, again, from what does it look like for that continuity between nearby nature and faraway wilderness.
Yes, I love that. Coming full circle with it.
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Let's talk about a new bag from Osprey that's getting awards and lots of hype, the Scuffle. What in the world is a scuffle? Well, if you put square and duffel together, you get Scuffle, which is exactly what this bag is. a square-shaped duffel. Now, just to be clear, when it's all zipped up, it's rectangular and easy to carry with its stowaway backpack straps. But the coolest feature about this bag is that you not only have the option of opening it via the U-zip panel access to the top, but you can also unzip all the way around the perimeter of the bag, opening it up like a clamshell, which creates a square. If you need help imagining this, go to osprey.com and check out the Scuffle. That's S-Q-U-F-F-E-L to see this magic that I'm talking about. I love the clamshell option because I am a very organized packer. And with everything in its proper packing cube, I can further organize by packing clothes on one side of the clamshell and gear and toiletries on the other. There are zip dividers to keep the contents of each side secure, and these dividers are roll-away if you prefer not to use them. I love a good versatile bag, and that's exactly what the Scuffle is. It comes in both 44 and 70 liter sizes, so you can carry it on or check it if you want. The zippers all slide super smoothly, which is important to me. It has burly webbing grab handles on every side. Its Blue Sign approved nano-tough exterior is remarkably strong and highly water resistant, so it's absolutely worthy of being thrown into the back of a pickup truck full of hockey gear for an away tournament. And when you get to said tournament and realize the rain leaked through the shell of the back of the truck, you'll be relieved that only your hockey gear is wet, not your clothes that were packed safely and securely inside your new Scuffle. I wish I could say I wasn't speaking from experience on that one, but that is exactly why the Scuffle gets full approval from me and two thumbs up. You can find the Scuffle and all the packing cubes that fit perfectly inside it at osprey.com. Are you interested in traveling to Patagonia or anywhere else in Chile or Argentina? Of course you are. I have good news, not so good news, and great news for you. The not so good news is that it's often logistically super challenging to plan trips to certain destinations in Chile and Argentina because of advanced permitting, limited capacity, vast distances between locations, border crossings, and a myriad of other bureaucratic issues. The good news is that my friends over at ecochile.travel and ecoargentina.travel can handle all of these logistics for you and help you plan the trip of your dreams. They are local, they know the systems, they speak the language, they also speak English, and building custom trips is what they do. I've traveled with EcoChile before. I actually went to Easter Island through them on my last trip to Chile, and I was mind blown at how well I was treated as a traveler. The amount of support and materials they provided me made me feel like I was in such good hands. And for me, being the one who usually does all the planning, oh my goodness, it feels so good to be taken care of, like to the last little detail, especially because I had not been to Easter Island before. I trusted their expertise and my experience was even better than I imagined. Whether you know exactly what you want to experience in a destination or you don't, EcoChile will work with your interests, travel style, budget, time frame, and take care of every piece of your itinerary that you want them to handle. Think nature, hiking, wildlife, boutique lodges, road trips, local culture, and real connection with the destination, all while having reliable logistics and support throughout your entire trip. That's what EcoChile provides. And the great news is that when you go to ecochile.travel or ecoargentina.travel to book with them, you can receive 5% off your trip. Just select Traveling Jackie in the inquiry form or mention me in your email, phone, or WhatsApp message. Go to ecochile.travel and start your dream trip planning today. Don't forget to tell them Traveling Jackie sent you. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
So what is Latino Outdoors then?
Yeah, I love it. Such a, you know, such a simple question. And yet we love making it complicated to start, because the idea was I was looking for community, right? And so the first ask was, what does community look like? So we had our first set of volunteer leaders. We had five of them say, I'm in to build a thing. And
these people just came from your blog? From, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just from our blog initially. And then what was also fascinating in the early Instagram days, back when it was very different than it is now. I recall we kind of looked at our volunteer leaders, and like about 90% of them all came through Instagram. They had like seen it and it's like, I want to be in it, reach out. It's like, I'm interested in like doing this thing in my, you know, where I live and so forth. And that was a good example of, we have, you know, the kernel of the community, but then they're like, we want to do programming. And I was like, ooh, that's both awesome. And that means, all right, I got to think about risk management. Like what's the structure that needs to support programming, right?
There's so much behind the scenes.
Oh yeah. So hence organizational structure. So that's the way Latino Outdoors is a community. It's an organizational structure. But then the other aspect is this idea of a kind of professional development hub, and step and connection. Because sometimes, especially for our volunteer leaders, they want to do this thing that they haven't been able to do in other spaces. One of our first volunteer leaders, she came to us and said, I've tried to do this, you know, to volunteer with the Forest Service or Fish and Wildlife, or try to like create something here. And I never really felt welcome. I never really felt like I was going to be supported. And then she came here. It's like, I'm able to do what I wanted to do, and kind of like really demonstrate her leadership. She even got an award for it. And that's that question with sometimes people like, where did you find or discover all these amazing people? And they're like, oh, we didn't Columbus anything. We didn't discover anyone. The leadership has always been there, but we've provided a space and a platform for that leadership to be visible, which included my own at the very beginning. And so that's a way in which Latino Outdoors is a community, is an organization, but it's also this platform and the space for both leadership and development.
That speaks to me hugely, because I believe in that as well, that facilitating a stage for people to then come out and write their own story is our job as, I suppose, community leaders or whatever it is that we're doing here, right?
Yeah. And that speaks to, if you go to the website, you'll see, I forget if they're called pillars or whatnot, but these aspects of how that gets done. And one of those is Yo Cuento. It's kind of our first kind of pillar, if you will. And that's kind of our narrative work. And Yo Cuento has that kind of double meaning, doble sentido, in a good way, not a bad way. That cuento is story, you know, te cuento un cuento. Like, I will tell you a story, right? But cuento also means to count. Like, yeah. I count. Tú cuentas.
I matter. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I matter. Exactly. And so it's a way to say, how do we matter through the narrative, through the stories? How do we contribute to what this work looks like? And so the Yo Cuento blog is, you get to read these stories from people. Like, this is where I fit in this community. This is how I connected to the outdoors. This is what matters to me.
It's so beautiful. I love that. And how do... Okay. You mentioned the website already, but we have yet to say where people can find this. So what is that website?
The website is latinooutdoors.org.
Okay. And then is it also on Instagram, Latino Outdoors?
Yep. Also on Instagram and under the same. Just about anywhere you look, Latino Outdoors. Those are the main presence, which is Instagram. It is on TikTok and whatnot, but the website. And so you'll find it there. And, you know, like when I bought the domain name 13, 14 plus years ago, that was the thing where it's like, oh, it's available. And it was a kind of happy, sad tears, because it's great. It's available. And I'll say, wow, the fact that it's available means nobody else is
right in that space. But you know what? This is for you. This is your project to step up and say, okay, we're going to do this. And it's going to unfold the way that it's meant to. And these beautiful people have come into your life and said, I want to be part of this, and helped you move it forward. And so how is it that people can become part of this now? Like, people listening, perhaps, if they want to do something, what does that even look like?
Well, step one, we say anyone and everyone is invited to a Latino Outdoors experience. There is no quote unquote Latino card you're supposed to show. And because sometimes people ask, they're like, I don't consider myself Latino. Like, I'm just white. Can I go? It's like, yeah.
Cool.
That's important, because sometimes people misunderstand or misinterpret that. They think that as an affinity group, it's a point of exclusion. And I'm like, it's quite the opposite. You're being invited into a focused conversation around this. So as long as you join that agreement that this is what we are centering, come on over. If you want to join other spaces, they are there. This doesn't mean that we are intentionally excluding you. Quite the opposite. It's about creating the space that creates that belonging and connection and healing for some, so that we're able to do, I say it's the inter and intra community work. Sometimes we need these spaces to kind of like grow and then be better. And that way it allows us to be good or better allies and supporters of other communities as well. So with that, if you just want to be a participant, you know, you go onto Instagram, you go onto the website and see where the list of activities and events are and RSVP, show up. If you're interested in being a volunteer leader because you're like, I want to, you know, I want to be part of the team, there is a process. Send, you know, look, go to the website, follow the email or info@latinooutdoors.org. And there might be a team in your area already. So like in the San Francisco Bay Area, it's one of the first teams and you connect with the program coordinator. They'll walk you through the process. There is a process. And the process is there again, organization and structure, because we can have a lot of passionate people. I'm in and then realize, oh, I have to like plan things and like actually lead and deliver. It's like, I kind of just wanted to have fun. I'm like, no, it's a commitment. We cannot take people on an outdoor experience and not be prepared. Because the last thing we would want to do is perpetuate harm. But it is a process. And then you get to be part of that team. If it's a brand new, that there's no team exists in that area and you want to be the first to start it, same thing. There is a process. And that was early on. We've told people like, this is the why, this is the how. The organization doesn't say, oh, there's no team there, so we have to create one. It's really more about there's the interest and the national team exists to support all of these local teams. It doesn't exist to like command and direct. It really exists as a support structure for all of this amazing work to happen.
In its own way, because every group is going to be different and have different opportunities. And yeah. And this is a nonprofit, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's the realities of needing nonprofit structure when it comes to funding for grants and stuff like that. And the 99.9% of our experiences are all free for participants.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And what kind of experiences are these?
It's a range. So it is, you have your hiking, you have your camping, your backpacking, but different places have done through partnership, which is another part, which is also part of the model, partnership with other local nonprofits, with public agencies, with parks and so forth. Everything from kayaking. There's been some ice climbing, birding. There's just a range of experiences down to, you know, walk in the parks, in your local parks to help connect people. And the teams are just fascinating and creative. You can have like, one was like parques, paletas y perritos. So come with, you know, with your dog. We're going to walk around the park and have some paletas. I was like, those are amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it speaks to people like, oh, that's me. I'm in. That's mine. Yeah.
Exactly.
How fun. I love that. Okay. So do you have, I'm sure you have been on a lot of these experiences. I just want to know if you have a story or two that comes to mind of something that was just an incredible experience for you.
I will share one of my early ones because when it started, like I was the one leading all the outings.
Yeah, sure.
and then be able to go ahead and tell our leaders, all right, now it's you. And now just to see everybody that's doing amazing work. But I'll share this one because I think it was a really good reminder of what the work can look like. And it was an outing at a state park out here in California in the middle of the Central Valley. The park is meant to protect this riparian ecosystem, right? So just this park along the river. And I remember putting the invitation out and saying, come join, bring your family at a walk hike at this park. And on a Sunday. And so, yeah, we get these families and they heard Sunday Family Park. And so you have some of these dads showing up in their Sunday best, kind of like after church, right? The tejana, the leather boots. I was the only one out of the whole group wearing like outdoor hiking pants. But that was that's a good example of the question, right? Well, are they dressed right or wrong? And I was like, that's not the question. The question is, are they dressed in a way that it can be safe and comfortable for what we're going to do? And it was, you know, just straightforward path around the park. And so I'm like, yeah, they don't you know, there's no correction to be like, oh no, you're dressed wrong for this hike. So we're walking, and then on one of these, one of the dads just start pointing out plants. It's like, that's this, oh, that's that, and that's that. Cool. And I'm like, this is, yo, you're a naturalist, right? How do you know these? And he's like, I'm a landscaper. And so.
Awesome. Bonus. Yeah.
Bonus. But, that was a way, right? To like, it's just those reminders to say, here's the invitation, support them in showing how they are. Yes. You can intervene when it comes to safety and comfort, or provide direction, but don't start from that prescription of kind of conversion. Like, well, they need to change to fit into what this outdoor idea is. It's more about what happens when we have this connection and conversation. And guess what? Most of them actually, as they think about what activities they like to do, then they will go to the REI store or the Patagonia store and whatnot, and understand why I might want this or want that. And that's been just fascinating to watch the growth in some of these families to be able to do that.
Of course. And do you find, what is the, who is showing up to this? Do you have members that you can actually say like, oh, we have, you know, X amount of people in this place or this place? And like, where do you see it? What's the demographic, really, I guess, is what I'm...
That's a good question. I don't have a percentage in terms of this group or not. Like I said, everyone's welcome. So even when the question is, do you do youth programming? It's a yes and. Recently, the team launched Semillitas. So Semillitas Outdoors. It's like... really kind of, yeah, little scenes to really highlight, right, the youth of the Latino Outdoors community. And support them with leadership opportunities. So watching, trust me, just watching the programming around that has been amazing. And we say that's still within a family structure, because we want to encourage and invite the whole family to show up. Because for me, early on, I said, one, I don't want our communities to just be objects of programming. Because a lot of times program exists to like, we're going to take you outdoors and have an experience, and you had it, and then that's it. And the leadership isn't representative. The way you thought about the programming isn't maybe as relevant. You just kind of like provided something. And then second, I said a lot of programs that are very youth focused, you gave something great to the, you know, to the kid as an experience. And then they go home. And they might, you know, get excited and tell the parents of like, I want to become a park ranger. And if that's new to them, they're like, what does that mean? Or like, sí, mijo, qué bueno, you know, I'm glad you had a good time. Versus having the parents really understand, it's like, oh, this could be a career. But other times parents too, this is the time where they can have a different connection. Because they might be in spaces like Redwoods for the first time. And I've heard them say, it's like, I haven't like had a moment to just be calm like this, or at home we have so much stressors, and that's part of the interaction with my kids, but here it can be different. And that's all a work in progress, because we also want to do that in a way that doesn't always convey to like a dad that's been working out in the fields to say, hey, join us on this outdoor thing that is going to remind you of labor. And we want them, you know, that's kind of what I say. I want to support that movement from outdoor labor to kind of outdoor leisure and outdoor love. And then that way they can understand that the outdoors can be spaces of rest, relaxation, and healing, knowing that some of them, so much of their connection with outdoor work is exactly that, just their labor.
Mm-hmm. And to be able to bring the whole family, because it's
exactly
so steeped in tradition in so much of that culture, to just say, come as you are, everyone, just come as you are, and we'll meet you where you are.
Exactly. And there's just so many moments that I've had over the years, including, you know, on one in LA, one outing, you had little girl, I think it was fourth grade. So she was excited because she was learning about the science and ecology in her classroom about all this stuff. So she like, look, this is this and photosynthesis and so forth. But then you had the abuelita, you know, then be like, oh, sí, mija. And also, we use that plant to like for this medicine or for this other. So just to, cool. You know, support that intergenerational kind of diffusion. And then I get to be like, this is the fantastic way. Yes, there's a responsibility and a role for leadership and all that, but it's, and I could still have a lesson plan that I want to like move with, but it's less about me arriving and saying, let me teach you about this place, and more about like, let me see what prompts will contribute. So like in a birding, we had a birding experience, and one of the easiest birds you can identify is a turkey vulture. And rather than me telling everybody, hey, everybody, look, this is a turkey vulture. This is how you can ID it, right? I would ask, hey, look, everybody, like, does anyone know what that is? Does it remind you of anything that you know? And that was a way that a couple of the dads gave me like four different words for the same bird.
Sopilote. And,
yeah, sopilote, buitre, like all of these other ones.
Cool, yeah, from everywhere. Yeah.
And then I was like, great. Now I'm going to contribute one in English. Now we have five. And what a way to like a good example of how we are all contributing to it.
I love that. Oh, what a beautiful thing you're creating. And I also want to, I guess just applaud you, but because I love the approach where kind of like I mentioned earlier, it's like, it's more of like a stage, like you create a stage. And this is how I love to see it as well. Like I do adventure trips for my audience and I say, you know what, here's what I'm going to build. I will facilitate this. And this is what you're doing. But like what I love is the people out there, they've already got the courage. They've already got the interest. They've already got the leadership. They've already got everything that they need. They just need an invitation to the stage to see the story play out. And then you provide those prompts, those things that we need to let the story unfold as it's meant to. But it's not about the backstage. It's about the main character. That's them.
Exactly. And this is why, I'll add this last piece around part of the quote unquote programmatic framework for Latino Outdoors is it was less about here's the exact script or the exact lesson plan that we want everybody to follow. In other words, if you're all camping, then this is the one way you have to do it. And it was more about saying, well, here's a framework to support you as the leaders to think about what that platform and storytelling can look like and where you could kind of provide those prompts. And so it starts with those four P's, which is, what are we creating and supporting that supports connections of people to place, people to process, and people to policy? And that way it's a more holistic way to weave those in because we want to support people going out and connecting with each other. Because sometimes people go on experiences and like, I don't know who I went with. I just, I was just part of a group. People to place to understand the history, the ecology, right? Like, what is it about this area? People to process, which is how do you do outdoorsy stuff in an enjoyable and safe way? Because that still matters, right? There are ways to pack a backpack that are going to be more helpful than not, as many of us
know. We'll get there, yeah.
Exactly, right. We'll get there. Or what shoes are better for depending on the activity that you want to do. And then people to policy to remind people that these places exist because of people decisions. So why is this considered protected and this is not? Why is this place resourced in this way and why this is not? And I said, those are people decisions from 50, 100, 200 years ago. So how are we contributing to the people decisions of what this looks like 50 years from now, 100 years from now? So
that's such good stuff. Okay. One more question that's kind of maybe two in one. In kind of simpler terms, because we've gone through the meaning of it all, and I love that. What is your greatest hope for Latino Outdoors? And what do you want people to know?
There's kind of two elements to it, I would say. an organizing model is that you work yourself out of a job in the sense of you've done the work that ideally it's not necessary because it's integrated everywhere. And so there's aspects to Latino Outdoors when I say whether the organization exists or not, it's that it's done the work that's necessary for it. Existing for the sake of existing is less helpful. And that's also part of why it's structured the way it is. What I call like mycelial leadership, that you're building the connections where the mushroom will pop up based on the program, the organization, the place or whatnot. But the work is really that networking, collective support and impact. And it's less about we need to maintain a nonprofit because that's, I don't recommend people maintain a nonprofit just for the sake of maintaining a nonprofit. So that's my hope. And the other part is that, you know, like I said, when I look at the leaders and say, like, you are holding and creating what I was looking for 15 years ago. And to think about what that means for 10, 15 years from now, if whatever aspect of Latino Ador still exists, that is providing that point of connection. And then at the individual level, you know, I use the term, you know, what are you doing to be a future ancestor? And so we are in the present now doing the things that allows, you know, the possibility of the future, because we don't know what it will look like and things are still going to, can still be really hard in a lot of ways, but it's kind of that place of like, you have something that feels right. You're like, I'm here and this feels good. I feel connected. I feel supported. And I want Latino Outdoors to be able to continue to be that.
Well, congratulations. And thank you for the work that you're doing. Honestly, it sounds like unimaginable amount of people have been impacted by this, and it's for everybody. And so it's not, you know, I love the inclusivity of it and just the dream and the platform and everything. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your story today and educating us about what you've been doing and how we can be part of it. I'll make sure that all those links and everything gets into the show notes, but I appreciate you very much. And I hope that we get to cross paths in person someday.
Absolutely. I'm looking for it. So thank you, Jackie. I absolutely. And thanks to everybody. I'm excited. And I hope everybody finds their way to get outdoors.
Yeah, me too. Happy trails, everybody. Thanks so much, Jose.
Thanks so much.